we worship you. We bless your wonderful name. Father, we thank you. You are so good to us. You're our rock. You're our shield. You're our ever-present help in time of trouble. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify your holy name. Oh, may you be lifted up here tonight, Lord. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Glory to you, Lord. Glory. Glory to you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord. Our heart is to grow closer to you, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for instruction tonight how to do that, how to grow closer to the Father. And, Lord, we just worship you for your word. We worship you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord. You are our help. We thank you, Father God. You're the answer to every difficulty, every situation, every question, Father. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we say have your way in this service tonight. Lord, I thank you that I'll speak with all utterance and boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel. Father, we thank you. Your word is revealed to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for revelation in your word. Lord, we magnify you, we glorify you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, why don't you shake hands with a few folks around you and you may be seated. Tonight? Well, we know what this year is, right? What is this year? A year for growing closer to the Father. So you know what that means? That means we have something to do, right? That doesn't just mean while you're sitting in your room, you're taken up to heaven in a glory cloud and, you know, have visions and money's rained down on you, although praise the Lord if that happens for you. But there's something for us to do, right? And so the Lord has some instruction for us tonight, hallelujah. He's going to share with us how to run light and easy, right? How to run light and easy. And, you know, have you ever heard this, that you have to give up to go up, right? You have to give up to go up. What does that mean? That means as we proceed in our relationship with the Father, there are things that we're going to have to lay down and lay aside, no longer participate in. You know, things that were okay for me, permissible for me when I was first born again, are no longer permissible for me, right? It's not the same. Just like as your child grows up, you don't treat them the same at 2 like you do when they're 12, right? You expect more of them. If they acted at 12 like they did when they were 2, there'd be a problem, right? It's unacceptable. And so if we expect that from natural growth, how much more spiritual growth from our Heavenly Father? Listen, some people say, oh, it's such a drag. You know, it's so hard just to, you know, live this life always doing something more for God. No, He's trying to get something better over to you, right? He wants something more for you. And so it's ridiculous to think that a 12-year-old would act like a 2-year-old, right? But the same thing is true in Christianity that, hey, if we've been saved 5, 10 years, we shouldn't be acting the same way we did when we were born again. And we shouldn't be doing the same things and going the same places and talking the same way. There should be a difference in us. And there should be a maturity about us that's noticeable, right? And so have you ever known people who they've aged naturally, but they sure haven't matured spiritually? It's a shame, isn't it? You know that people are in church years in and years out, and they might be 50, 60, 70 years old, and they don't know any more than when they first got saved, right? Oh, what a shame. You know, that doesn't bring pleasure to a parent with a natural child, and it doesn't bring pleasure to the Heavenly Father. And so our heart here is always to grow closer to the Father, right? And so that means responsibility for us, other things that we get to do, that we desire to do, to change, to live closer to Him. You know, have you ever noticed that the closer you are to someone, the more you get to know, right? So I've been married to my husband for 16 years, almost, it would be 16 years in June, and I don't know him now like I did when we were first dating or when we were first married. Matter of fact, I feel like I hardly even knew him back then, even though at the time I felt like I knew everything about him, right? And so when you grow with someone and you spend time with them year in and year out, and your endeavor is to learn their ways, you know, my job as a wife is to learn my husband's ways and to flow with what he likes, what's a blessing to him, what helps him. But the same thing is true with the Father, that if I'm maturing in my relationship with him, I'm always seeking to know how to please him more, how to help his plan come to pass more, how to be more obedient to him. You know, that should be our heart. And so tonight, the Lord's going to instruct us. Let's start in Matthew chapter 8. How to run light and easy. Hallelujah. Living for him is not a drag. Living for him is not hard. Living for him is the best life. So go to Matthew 8, verse 17. Michael's just going to follow along up there because I never give him scriptures anymore. Some of my husband's anointing rubbed off on me. I used to give the overhead scriptures, but hey, I don't know. It just didn't come to me anymore, Michael. So he just follows along. He's so good about it. Matthew 8, 17. And actually, before I start, I just wanted to mention to you that my husband intended to be here tonight. He wanted to be here tonight. We had a fire at our house, an outdoor fire. He was burning some things a few days ago, and something in the fire got in his throat, and so caused some swelling and discomfort in there and whatnot. So he's fine in his body. He just felt he couldn't exert his voice for that long. So he desires to be back, and he will be back this weekend, but I'm just filling in till then. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 8:17. You know, Pastor Michael said this, that the Lord spoke to him and told him, you're going to have to pray more. And Pastor Michael said, pray more? I pray more than anybody I know, right? And so when we say that we're going to lay aside weights and sins, that we're going to increase our relationship with the Father, grow closer to him, that's for everybody. It doesn't matter if you hang the moon spiritually or if you just got born again and you haven't done anything for God and you don't know one scripture. Regardless, this is not me telling you what to do. This is the Holy Ghost instructing all of us, right? Because we understand that I have to do the same word and more that everybody else does, right? And so you know that when you go home, your own preaching talks to you, that you, oh, remember what you said? You actually have to do that, right? Jeff Trussler, where is he? Where's Jeff? Is he in here somewhere? He was doing some work at my house last week, and I'm one of those people that if I have to hang something, which I don't really want to, but if I have to, I just eyeball it. I don't measure anything. I don't, you know, this looks like the middle, right? That's sort of where I want it. And so he came to the house to do some stuff for me, and I said, well, aren't you going to measure it? And he said, well, you don't measure it. And he said, are you one of those preachers that practices what they preach, or are you just going to tell me to do, you know, do as I say, not as I do? I said, just measure it, you know. And so as a minister, you go home, your own preaching speaks to you, right? And so we're here, all of us, to receive this word and do it. It's not me just pointing a finger and saying, you do it, right? And so Matthew 8:17, I'm trying to get there. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And so, well, what does this have to do with running light and easy? What does this have to do with laying aside sins and weights? It has everything to do with it. Because Jesus took things for us, didn't he? He didn't just take sickness. He didn't just take disease. He took all forms of weakness in your mind, in your body, all forms of frailty. He took every bit of discouragement, distraction, depression, oppression, anxiety, you know, that suicidal spirit, all of those things, he took it, right? But I'll be honest with you, a lot of Christians are walking around like he didn't, right? And I don't say that accusatory, but we have to understand, if he took it, why are we? You know, I've taught my kids, when you see my car pull in or you hear my car pull in, you come to my car and you carry in my groceries, right? That's the benefit of having boys. Now, if I had a girl, I probably wouldn't do that. But seeing that I have boys, I'm going to work them, right? So y'all get out here. I already carried them twice, from the shelf to the cart. Oh, three times, from the cart to the conveyor belt, from there back to the cart, and then into the car again. Y'all should just be grateful I didn't make you go with me, right? So if you complain about coming out to carry them, next time you go. And so anyway, I tell my kids, when you hear me or you see me, you get out here and carry this stuff for me. Now, if after they carried all my groceries into the house for me, if I carried them all back out to the car, just so I should carry them back inside the house again, I'd be dumb, right? Because why carry what they already carried? You look stupid, right? And the same thing is true with Christians. He took all of that. Every bit of discouragement, every bit of depression, every bit of anxiety, you know, that feeling of panic, of worry, of what are we going to do in this situation? You know, distress in your body, distress in your mind, anything like that, he took it. And if we carry it around, we just look dumb, right? And why should we carry something he already did? And so we can't hold on to our troubles. We can't hold on to our difficulties. We can't hold on to those things trying to come against our mind. He already took them. And so if you've taken them back from him and you're walking around with them, they don't belong to you. And we're going to see tonight before we leave here, listen, we're going to lay down every weight and every sin that tries to so easily beset us, right? I'm not letting you leave here saying, go home and pray before you go to bed. We're going to leave them right here at the altar so you can walk out of here in victory, right? And how, isn't it such a wonderful thing when you just, you know, have you ever had an interaction with someone and it just didn't go right and you feel like you just need to set it right? And once you set it right, the relief that brings to you, and how much more in our relationship with the Father, that there's been something between us that wasn't really right and we knew it, but once we get it right, we have such confidence and such joy and such peace, and there's a difference when we walk away from him, right? And so tonight we're going to leave with those things. So go over here to Acts chapter 9. Leave without those things, excuse me. Acts chapter 9. Michael, can I see this in the Amplified? Verse 5. Acts 9, verse 5. And I've preached on this verse before. Acts 9, 5. No sense in us carrying around those things that he's already taken, right? No sense. No sense. Acts chapter 9, verse 5. And I'll read this in the Amplified. And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. So we know this is Paul right before his conversion. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is dangerous and will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the goad, to offer vain and perilous resistance. So we know here the Lord's been continually trying to get over to Paul that he needs to know him and that he needs to follow his plan. And as believers, maybe he's not talking to us, obviously, concerning our salvation, but he's pricking our heart concerning things he wants us to do, things he wants us to stop doing, habits that he wants us to pick up, habits that he wants us to lay down. And all of these things are our own will. Right? They're of our own choosing. The habits we have in our life that we, you know, partake of every single day, it's of our own doing. And so he said, if you keep kicking against the pricks, it will turn out badly for you. And each of us know those things that have tripped up our own lives that we've needed to lay down and yet still haven't done it. And I don't have a voice to the whole body of Christ, but it seemed to me for this particular body that I have seen recently people dealing with difficulties that they didn't need to go through. People dealing and facing trials and situations that were unnecessary, but because they have been resisting and kicking against the pricks for a while, not doing things that the Lord told them do, that difficulty has come. And I don't mean that it's something he's told you to do for a week or 2 weeks. These are things that he's been trying to get us to change for years. And, you know, it is the goodness of God that he's sharing that with us tonight, because it keeps us safe. You know, it's like when your kid is ready to run toward the road. When I was pregnant with Michael, I was actually due with Michael, and Timothy went running toward the road, and I'm yelling after him to stop. And, you know, when they're a year and a half, they don't, you know, they just keep running. And so it's like that. You know that there's danger out there, and you're trying to get your kid to stop, right? And so this is a safety for us. This is the goodness of God for us, that those habits that have, you know, hindered our lives, and those ways of thinking and those offenses and the discouragement and, you know, the depression and the oppression and even things like facing stuff in your body. Do you know, I have seen a lot lately that people have all of a sudden, but not really, had major health issues, but it was because for years they ignored symptoms. They ignored lumps or bumps or growths or pain or something. And when they let that go, it developed into something bigger because it was neglected. You know, someone told me the other day that they knew someone who had neglected their teeth so long. And the dentist said, "You have tons of work that needs done now because you have neglected this so long." And the girl said, "I'm doing it once. You got one shot to fix everything I need fixed." And she was in a 7-hour oral surgery to have all that stuff fixed. Dear Jesus, it should not get to that point, right? I mean, simple things like going to the dentist every year, having a yearly physical, right? You know, I mean, basic things to take care of yourself, not neglecting it. You know, there's a house down here. You've probably seen it. It's right under the blinker light of Forest Avenue and Garfield. So you pass through the blinker light on the left-hand side, that house on the corner. It's like a greenish color, and it's maybe a 1.5 story. You know, that house used to be real cute there, but they've let it go year after year after year, and it's totally neglected now. And where if they had only let it go 6 months, they could have fixed it up pretty easy. Even a year, not too bad. But now they've let it go so long, it's been neglected. And it needs a lot of repair. And now it's going to take longer, and the process is going to be more intense and more laborsome because it's been neglected so long, right? And sometimes, have you seen houses around town? They've been neglected so long that they just got to condemn them. You know, they junk them. And so, you know, the thing is that sometimes we've neglected stuff, saying it's faith, and really all we're doing is acting in ignorance, right? If you've had something come against your body, and it's been a month or two, and you haven't seen it resolved, your faith didn't get it, just go to the doctor, use your faith to the doctor, right? There's no condemnation. Just get there and get help. Get to the other side of it. You know, get something taken care of. And, you know, a lot of times people say they're not going from out of faith, but they're really not going out of fear. Fear because they don't want to be told what they know that thing is or what they think that thing is. But let me tell you, it's a whole lot easier to take care of something that's been neglected for 6 months than something that's been neglected 2 years, right? And so if there are things that we know we need to address, we need to address them. You know, pain in people's body and things going wrong in their body. Listen, get that taken care of. If your faith didn't get on top of it, that's okay. Use your faith for the doctor and deal with it, right? That would be wisdom. And so I have seen where people have let some things go and gone through unnecessary trials because they haven't laid certain weights or sins aside, but also because they've neglected some things, right? Just be sober. If you haven't gotten to the other side of it yet, just get some help, right? And so over here he said, "It turns out badly for you to keep kicking against the pricks." What does the Holy Ghost prompt your heart to deal with? You know, this year, have you been reading the book of the month? Yeah, I'm still stuck in chapter 1. I mean, I've read the book several times, and it seems like I can't get out of chapter 1, you know? And so thank God we have a whole month for it, because I'm still trying to do chapter one. And so, you know, where he talks about laying aside weights and sins. And this year, the Holy Ghost has dealt with me concerning being more patient, that my impatience is a weight for me. And I know you all are the most patient people on earth. That would never happen to you. But for me, I have this to deal with. And if I'm going to grow closer with the Father, he expects me to address that. And so for me, being impatient with some things is a weight for my life, right? And so what is it that the Lord's speaking to your heart that you need to address? You know, some people have totally neglected their prayer life, totally neglected it. It's important that we pray. This week, I don't know if you saw on the news, it was actually Monday, and my husband asked me to share this with you, and I didn't know it'd come up now, but on the news, they had a bombing by the Taliban, and it was over in Afghanistan, and it was right by the base, and there was a convoy going through, and a guy pulled up next to a vehicle that our soldiers were driving and detonated a car bomb. And it was a Taliban suicide bombing. And in the vehicle that was bombed was my husband's cousin. And so of the three Americans who died, one of the men was his cousin. And so we got that message a couple hours after it happened on Monday. And it was a real shock to us. He's such a young man. He was only 31. Of course, his family and his mother are very upset. And Tim came in my room last night and he said, you know, I was thinking, I wonder if Grandma Ginny being gone had anything to do with this or affected it. And, you know, Tim's grandma went home to be with the Lord earlier, a few months ago. And Tim's grandma prayed every day for safety for this young man. His name was Ben. And she prayed every day for safety for him. And she prayed every day for all of her grandchildren. And so I believe there was something that her prayer supply brought to his life and to the other grandchildren, their life, that did something for them that maybe they didn't notice until it wasn't there. Now, I'm not saying that happened. God didn't tell me that. But I do remember Brother Hagin saying that he noticed very clearly when Phil Halverson went home to be with the Lord, and Phil Halverson was his prayer supply. And if you remember, Pastor Michael just went into his fourth phase of ministry, and he had a vision going into that phase, and he saw himself climbing up that hillside, that mountainside, and he'd slide down, and he'd climb up again and slide down. And he said he knew by the Spirit of God that if people didn't pray for him, he wouldn't make it. And so there are certain things that in order to get past, to get over, to get through, we have to have a prayer supply. So I'm not saying that was, you know, that void allowed that to happen. But it does make you ponder things, doesn't it? That prayer matters. Your praying matters. And when you don't pray, that matters too. And certain things happen when we don't pray that God never intended. And so take very seriously your job to pray. And that we pray on a daily basis. And listen, if you don't know how to pray, just come to Wednesday prayer. It's a half an hour. No one's going to call on you to do anything. You don't have to stand up and say anything. No, there's no assignment for you. Just come to pray. But when you come, you'll learn something. I learn something every single time I'm here. It shocks me, the Lord. You know, he'll tell us something. He'll say something to us. He'll give us a revelation. Miss Ann will have a spiritual song and something will happen. We learn something every single time. So if you really just feel, you know, not very confident in your own prayer life and praying by yourself at home, everyone can do that. But if you need a little help, just come Wednesday. You know, somehow make it work in your schedule that for a half an hour. It's not a scary thing. There's other people here. You know, we're all praying together. And so no one's going to ask you to do something. Just come and learn. Just come and be in his presence and learn the Father, right? And so what are the things he's telling us to pick up? What are the things he's telling us to lay down? And, you know, some of us, we've had bad attitudes with our spouses. You know, maybe kids have had a bad attitude with their parents. You know, maybe it's that you knew you should be spending more time in prayer, but you just have not done it. And really, in your mind, you thought, I'm just not going to do it. We'll leave that to the prayer team. But we can't leave everything to the prayer team, right? Because, you know, there's a whole lot more people that need something than are on prayer team, right? And so we all have a part to play. Pick up that thing he's told you to do and lay down those things he's told you to stay away from. Recently, I was having some symptoms in my body where I would have involuntary muscle movement, right? Where all of a sudden my leg would just kick, and or I'd wake up in the night because my body moved so that it woke me up. And it wasn't God. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the devil. It was just something in my body that wasn't right. And I sensed that there was something in my diet that I needed to change that was somehow affecting me. And so I thought I would do a trial and take that out of my diet for a week and see what happened, and it virtually disappeared. And so this was my flesh and my mind thought, you wouldn't do this. But I thought, well, now that I know what it is and it's nothing serious, if I want it to go away, I'll just stop eating it or drinking it. But seeing that I don't, I just stay with it for a while because I really enjoy it. Right? And you wouldn't be that carnal, but that's what I wanted to do. Except that the Lord reminded me that now I had knowledge. And knowledge requires something of you, right? You know, once you know something, you're required to do it. And so it was fine before when I was in ignorance, but now I know. And seeing that I know, I have to do something about it. It's kind of like with your kids. When they do something that they shouldn't, but it's something that you never told them don't do, the first time, you don't necessarily discipline them. You just explain to them why they can't do that, right? They did it in ignorance, so there's no penalty. But the next time you do that, there's a penalty because now you know, right? And the same thing is true with the Father. It's not that he's trying to hurt us. It's that we decided. We made a choice. And every person has a free will and has a choice, and he don't override it. God didn't will it. We made a choice. And so now that I have knowledge, I must avoid this thing, right? And so I'm happy to report I made the adjustment. I'm doing it because I want to live long, healthy, and strong. And that's not just my confession. I actually do something about it, right? Because I have seen children whose parents don't take care of themselves, or they go home early, and it's such a heartache for the children. And I want my children to see me wanting to live long and to do something about it, that I'm not just here for the plan of God, but I'm here for you. And I want to be an example to you of what it looks like to take care of my temple, to live long, right? And so that's part of laying things down and picking things up. You know, we must take good care of our bodies, because if we don't take good care of our bodies, it doesn't matter what's in your spirit, because without a strong body, you'll never do what's in your heart. All that God has told you to do, you cannot do while you're homesick, right? You know, there was a time where I was laid up in my body for a couple years, and I didn't preach much. I still came to prayer group, but I really didn't do a whole lot during that season because I needed to recover strength. And I wasn't really good to anybody because I'm at home just trying to regroup for myself, you know. And so you can't really serve God well and serve him fully with a weak body. And so let's take care of our temple. You know, when we do that, we show the Lord it matters to us what you have for us to do, that we care about your plan, and that, Father God, we're going to fulfill it fully, right? Not just part of it, fully. Okay, so go over here, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Michael, do you have the Living Bible up there? If you have the Living Bible, I'll take that. It must be on the same vein as NIV. Doesn't like NIV either. Hebrews 12:1 in the King James says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us." Oh, he didn't say God was going to lay it aside. I thought he said God. God was going to take it. God was going to do it. Have you ever heard people pray, "God, take this addiction. God, take this sorrow. God," no, we just read, himself took. Is took present tense or past tense? Past tense, it's already been done. He already took it. You're trying to give him stuff he already has. Right? He doesn't want it. He already took it. He's already got it. So we say, "God, take this from me." No. He said, "Let us." So what are you going to do about weights and sins? What are you going to do about it? If you keep them, you decided. He already took it, right? "Lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. And then let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Can I tell you something? When people come to church, they ought to look around, and we ought to look as happy as we are on the inside, right? Have you ever looked around and people's face is drawn and they're mopey and they look like they just like, it's not that they don't look nice presentation-wise. It's just like, you don't, no. Nobody wants that, right? It's like, there should be something glowing about us that people want what we have, not just time to make the donuts. That guy, we don't need to see that, right? It doesn't help anybody. I love that illustration, time to make the donuts. And so he said, "Let us run." He didn't say mope. He didn't say walk. He didn't say stroll. He said, our life for him is a run. That means there's a hurriedness about it. That means that there's an urgency with us in our hearts to do something for him, that we have a pace that it's more than just, okay, God, I'm here today, that we're excited for what he wants us to do, right? And this is not a message of condemnation. You know, the Bible says there is now no more condemnation. No more. And so this is not condemnation, this is safety. Do you know why I tell my kids not to do certain things? To keep them safe. Now I think, you know, they think it's because I'm trying to suck the fun out of their life, but that's not true. But I do have to say, in my house, I'm not the fun one. You know, I was thinking about that before church, and the Lord said, but you could be the fun one in church. Like, he evened it out, right? Not that Tim's not fun, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to stop it right there. Who's editing this? Just edit that out. And so in my house, I'm not the fun one. But the thing is that you tell your kids stuff to not do. Remember when they were little and it was, I think they came out with them right when I was having my kids, or maybe before and I just didn't know, but those little plastic covers for the outlets. You know, but before that, it was like you always had to make sure your kids weren't touching those outlets, putting something in there, you know. And so you tell them not to do things because you're trying to keep them safe because you love them. And so this is the Father loving us. He is trying to prevent things, but he's also trying to move us into something because he's trying to get near us, right? We have to let him. And so, let's go over here, if you will, with me. I'm going to share some things with you out of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And Michael, can I have this in the Amplified? So, let me ask you all this. What are you going to do to change? It's the same question I have to answer. What am I going to do to change? You know, we've heard this over and over. If you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got, right? But do we even think about what we just said? We want something different. We want something to change. We want something more. But yet, we don't want to do anything different. God doesn't just, like, you know, move his hand on you and all of a sudden, bam, everything that was negative in your life is gone and everything positive deposited for you. There you go. Happy Christian life. That's not how it works. He said, let us lay aside weights and sins. So we have to do it. What are we going to do to change? What are you going to do to change? At the end of this service, and we have an altar call, and not that you have to come to the altar, but, you know, come to the altar in your heart. What are you going to lay down? What are you going to put aside that is a snare to you, that so easily besets you? Have you ever noticed you go in to pray and study your Bible, and next thing you know, your phone dings, you know, your iPad's going off, your kids are knocking at the door, and then your prayer time gets messed up? It was easy. That easily beset you, right? And so we're going to determine what are those things in ourself. What are the things within ourselves, the habits that we have, the ways that we think that are not pleasing to the Father and preventing us from going closer with him? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. For if the message given through angels, which was the law spoken by them to Moses, if it was authentic and proved sure, and every violation and disobedience received an appropriate, just, and adequate penalty, how shall we escape an appropriate retribution if we neglect and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation that has been offered us, letting it drift past us forever? For it was declared at first by the Lord himself, and it was confirmed to us and proved to be real and genuine by those who personally heard him speak. And so basically what he's saying here is, in the Old Testament, there was a penalty when we disobeyed the Ten Commandments, right? And in the New Testament, there is still a penalty when we disobey the Word of God and what the Father's put in our hearts. There's still a penalty. And it's not that God's trying to hurt anybody. It's not that God's trying to take something from somebody. It's a decision we made. You know, when I was a little girl, my grandma had this wood stove. And that was how she heated her whole house. And it was just a little wood stove. But I remember as a little girl, her telling me over and over and over and over again, do not touch the stove. It's hot. It will burn you if you touch it. I mean, she must have said it 1,000 times, right? But do you know what I did? I touched the stove, right? Why? Because why is she telling me so many times not to touch the stove? I know she said it's hot, but it really can't be. I mean, it didn't look orange. It didn't look bright. It wasn't red. You know, it just looked gray. And I just reached out, and remember, I just touched it, like the tips of my fingers, and my fingers burnt so bad. And I didn't want to cry, because she knew I touched the stove. So I just said, I need to go home to my mom. And my mom lived next door at the time. And so she let me walk home. But I didn't want to admit to her that I'd touched the thing she told me don't touch. And did my grandma burn me? No. Matter of fact, she tried to prevent me from being burnt. But I chose to touch the thing she told me don't, and therefore hurt came to me. Right? And it's the same thing with the Father. He's trying to tell us, stop touching that in your thought life. Stop giving in to depression. Stop giving in to anxiety. Stop robbing God with the tithe. Stop skipping church on Sunday. He's trying to get help over to us, right? Stop mistreating your spouse. You need to walk in love in a greater measure. You know there's a penalty for walking out of love? Oh, yes, there is. Have you ever felt that penalty? I remember one time I'd walked out of love with Tim. We were living on Linwood then. And I walked out of love with him, and I didn't make it right away. And next thing you know, I come down with symptoms in my body. And I went right out there and apologized. Because now I'm sorry, right? I wasn't sorry till now. But now I'm sorry. And so, did God put those symptoms on me? No. I just opened the door to the enemy. I chose to do something, right? And so the Father's trying to keep us safe. saying, just make this adjustment I've been trying to tell you because I'm trying to keep you from getting burnt, right? Reaching out and touching grandma's stove. She told me don't do it. He's trying to tell us, stop eating that. Stop drinking that. Stop going to that place that you shouldn't. Stop working yourself into the ground. You know, all these things he's trying to tell us to do, he's doing it for safety. Not because he's trying to take something from you. When God tries to tell us, I want you to move into prayer more, he's not trying to take your time. He's trying to get something to you you can only get in prayer. Brother Hagin said this. If you've been reading this book, it's in the book of the month. And he said this, obeying God doesn't cost, it pays. It sure does. But it will cost you not to obey God, right? So obeying God doesn't cost, it pays. And it will cost you not to obey God. You know, I thought about this. You know, in the Old Testament, with Moses and Aaron going to Pharaoh over and over and over and over again. And I thought, how bad does it have to get before Pharaoh just says, just go, just leave Egypt? And yet, it's the same thing with Christians today. It's like you have a little difficulty in your body and you just keep eating that thing you know you shouldn't. And then you have a greater difficulty in your body and just keep eating that thing you know you shouldn't. And it just keeps going. And you think, how bad does it have to get before moi makes a change? Right? A lasting change. And it's such a small thing in the big scheme of life. Right? And it's not that he's trying to take something from me I enjoy. He's trying to get long life into me. Right? Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. I'll go to the Amplified in that. He said there was every violation and disobedience received an appropriate, just, and adequate penalty. I don't want to suffer a penalty, do you? And sometimes, and I've noticed lately, we've suffered penalties of our own doing. It isn't even, you know, it's one thing if the devil attacks you. It's another thing if it's just you were dumb and didn't want to do something God told you, right? And I don't mean you, I mean proverbial you, all of us, right? That we just decided, hey, he told us to do something, we ain't doing it, right? Just like me, when I walked out of love with Tim, no, I wasn't going to apologize till penalty came. But why wait till penalty comes? You know, Pharaoh and his house and all those in Egypt, they didn't have to suffer the death of their firstborn. No, they didn't. They didn't have to suffer the plague of the flies and the lice and the locust and the blood in the water and the darkness and all these things. No, they didn't have to go through one of those. Not just a few, not one. But it was their hard heart. It was their penalty for disobedience. Okay. So let's go over here to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. Are you as convicted as me? Whew. My feet are hot, right, with the conviction of God. Jeremiah. Chapter 7, verse 23. Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 23. And I'm going to read it out of God's Word translation. And it says this, but I did tell them this, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Live the way I told you to live, so things will go well for you. If things aren't going well for you, it could be that there's an attack, but it could be that we've neglected to live the way he told us to live. In verse 24 says, but they didn't obey me or pay attention to me. They followed their own plans and their stubborn evil ways, and they went backward, not forward. Wow, that's dangerous. So let me read it to you again. I tell them this, obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Live the way I told you to live so things will go well for you. But they didn't obey me or pay attention to me. They followed their own stubborn plans and their own stubborn evil ways, and they went backward and not forward. You know, Finnis Dennings Jake, if you've ever had his study Bible, I have it on my iPad now. But we were gifted it at a pastor appreciation one time. We have the actual book, and it's the commentary of Dake. And he said this. He said, "It's a fool's dream to think that there is no moral responsibility to live right." We have a moral responsibility to live right. And he said this. Can you go to verse 23 in the King James? He said, "Walk in the ways I have commanded you, that it would be well unto you." And you know, God's telling us to do certain things for it to be well for us. Not because he's trying to take something, not because he wants something from you, because he wants it to go well for you. Do you want it to go well for you? Let me ask you this. How bad does it have to get before you obey? I say this, it doesn't have to cost you anything. That you can just hear what he wants you to do and obey it and walk in the goodness of God. Instead of violating in our heart what we know we should avoid time after time after time, month after month, year after year, and run into danger. Because he said he wants it to go well for us. But do you want it to go well for you? Because your will matters in everything. If you don't want it, he's not pushing it over on you. Was it the will of God that Pharaoh and those people in Egypt, all the Egyptians, that they went through the difficulties they did? No, he didn't want that for them, but they chose it. And so how bad does it have to get before we make a change, right? I believe that all the people in this room have a desire for change. They have a desire for growing closer to the Father. And I say this, let tonight be the night you lay those things down and you don't ever pick them back up again. You know, do you have a bad attitude with people? You know, do you talk to people wrong? You walk out of love with people and say things you shouldn't. You know what? You know how do you get rid of that? You just decide tonight you're done with it. Because he took it. He already took it. Right? You know, how long are we going to rob God in our tithe and be disobedient to the word? How long? How long are we going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together and not be in church every week like we should? Does something have to break naturally in your body? Does something have to not work? How bad does it have to get? Right? It doesn't have to get bad at all. If we heard the instruction in our heart and just did what he said, the Bible said here, he wants it to go well for us. Aren't you thankful that you have a heavenly Father that wants it to go well for you? Yes, he wants good things for us. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you. We worship you. Father God, before we leave here tonight, we are just going to pray the prayer of consecration. And you can all just pray in your seat. You know those things that you just have not laid down that you should. Those things that have hindered your life, hindered your spiritual growth, hindered your natural health, and been something that stood in the way for you. Maybe it wasn't a sin, but a weight. Something that held you back, that kept you from growing closer to the Father. And so, Lord, Reverend Tony, I thank you. You play a song here, just something real quiet, maybe even sing a little bit. Father, we come to you tonight to dedicate our lives to you. Father, we repent of those things we know we should not have done and we have continued to do. Father, you want it to go well for us. Father, you have a good plan for us. You desire for us to grow closer to you. So, Father, tonight we lay down those weights and sins that have so easily beset us. And, Father, we pick up the plan of God in a greater measure. We purpose to run with your plan. Father, we just thank you for your patience, for your goodness, and for your mercy, Father. Lord, I thank you for all these people here, Lord. They have such tender hearts toward you. And Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord, that you are trying to keep us safe. Oh, you're such a good Father. You're such a good God. We worship you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Oh, we lay it all down tonight, Lord. We're not leaving here with it. Every weight and sin that Father God has hindered our life, we leave it here tonight. We repent of it. We ask you to forgive us. And we go on now in strength, Father. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for your mercy. We thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you and praise you as we repent and get right before you, Father, that we have another level of strength, another level of revelation, another level of peace, another level of joy. Father, we just thank you. We step into more as we lay aside those weights and those sins. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you feel better? Don't you feel lighter? There's nothing between you and the Father now, right? You can go home and live before him and not be ashamed. You know, the Bible said that we should live before him so we're not ashamed at his coming. Well, we know he could come at any time. So if he came tonight, we wouldn't be ashamed. We'd joyfully receive him, right? Come, Lord Jesus, come. So let's take up the offering. Father, we thank you for all that we've received tonight, your help in the word. And Father, we give back to your work, Lord. It matters to us that the work of God is funded in this area, and in this church. And Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for each one who gives, that it's given back unto them, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men pour into their bosom. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you may serve the people. Anna, you have mine. So if you have any time this week and it's on your heart in any way, Tim's cousin, his name was Ben, and his mother's name is Wendy. And how many of you know, for a mother who's lost a child, you know, she could use a little prayer. So her name is Wendy Hines. If you think to pray for her this week, just the Lord strengthen her and comfort her, give her wisdom. And you know what? What the devil meant for evil, let God make it good. That they would grow closer in their relationship with the Lord, that there would be more fruit, you know, that would abound to their account somehow through this. And so if you think of it and it comes to you this week, just lift her up before the Lord. Amen. So let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your divine instruction to us. And Lord, we love you.